the house where you are living, aren't you grateful for its foundation? Let's talk about the spiritual foundation on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Thank you for joining me today and welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. I'm Jeff Archie. Each week, we're simply going to take the precious book divine, God's Word, and we're going to be looking at book, chapter, and verse within to gain that wonderful truth. Thy Word is truth, Jesus prayed unto the Father in John 17:17, and what a joy for us to study God's Word, the truth, together today. I'd like for you and I to consider that in between our broadcast, as you study the Word of God, we are hoping to help you by sending you any information absolutely free as you study the Word of God together. So at the conclusion of our broadcast, we'll give you the information to contact us and let us know how we can be of help to you. And again, it's absolutely free. Just like today, the only thing it'll cost, a little bit of your time. And again, thank you for joining me today. Now, our book, chapter, and verse today will come from the book of Psalms. The Psalms that are beautiful hymns, Psalm 118, 22, and 23. Listen to what the psalmist said. He said, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." You know, a cornerstone is vital for a foundation. Is it not amazing that the builders would reject a cornerstone? How could a building stand if they reject the cornerstone? The foundation of the Lord's church. Oh, yes, dear friends, it is marvelous in our eyes to see the solid foundation of which the church we read of the New Testament is built upon is a thrilling study and one to remind us of the strength that we see in the church. Now, as we noted in an earlier study, how marvelous it is that God purposed the church from eternity, prophesied of the church through His prophets, promised the church through His Son's promise, and the purpose that comes forth and the purchased blood. What a wonderful study to consider on the church. Now, let us build on the foundation as we see the church we read of in the New Testament. Let's look at that foundation, and we simply want to do it by some declarative statements. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to go book, chapter, and verse and see the strength of that foundation. To begin, number one, the foundation will be laid. That's going back into the Old Testament, the prophecies of God. The Old Testament says the foundation will be laid. Whenever a house is to be built, the first thing to do is dig down deep, hit that bedrock, and lay that solid foundation to build it properly. Some time back, my wife and I were noticing some challenges to a foundation at our house, and so we took some precautionary measures to make certain that it remained solid. And how solid and how sure we are of the foundation of God. Now, let's go back to where it says the foundation will be laid. And I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 28, verses 16 and 17. Now, listen to this reading. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hails shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place." Listen to how the Lord termed that. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. When you go back to Isaiah 2, 2 and 3, of how the word of the Lord would sound forth from Zion, from Jerusalem. Notice the descriptions of the stones here. A stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Something is going to be built, and notice the judgment. Notice, if you will, the balance, the rule, verse 17. Now, as we think along that line of that solid foundation upon that solid rock, let's now see where they said the foundation will be laid. Let's consider the teaching of Jesus now in Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 13. In Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 13, I want you to notice some words with me here, reading this text together. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, let's talk about the idea of stone and rock. First of all, when we look at the name Peter, it does mean stone, but refers to a smaller stone. It's a word called Petros in the original language. Peter would signify a smaller stone. Parallel that with John 1 and verse 42. His name would be called Cephas, interpreted a stone. Now, the word rock here in this text is a different word in the original language, where Peter is Petros, small rock. Petra is rock or a solid stone or a bedrock. Go down into it deep. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 7, 24 and 25 of the wise man building his house upon the rock, that when the rains came and the floods arose, the rock or the house stood solid on the rock. It's the same rock used also in Matthew 27 and verse 60 of the stone rolled in front of the tomb. And so as you and I think about this, there's a difference in the stone, Peter, and the stone or the rock, the foundation that Jesus is the Son of God. So in other words, when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," he wasn't building the rock or the church upon Peter. That's not the stone. But it was the foundation and the solid force of what Peter said. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It is that confession, that foundation, Jesus Christ, that would build the church. The foundation will be laid. That's what they said in old. And Jesus, while walking on this earth, said he would build his church. And he is the foundation, the Son of God, that Peter declared. And the church would be built upon that solid foundation. Then Peter would take the keys to the kingdom. Or in other words, Jesus would give him authority, as he did all of the apostles. And as we noted in an earlier study, how the Holy Spirit guided them into all truth, as Jesus said in John 14, 26, John 15, 26, and John 16 in verse 13. How beautiful to see the foundation will be laid. Now, let's take a look. We see it through the prophetic eyes of Scripture. It will be laid. Secondly, let's consider the foundation was laid. Let's take a look at Acts, the 4th chapter. In Acts, the 4th chapter, and verses 10 through 12, let's consider what Peter said that day as he was standing before the council. This is where Peter and John were brought before the council concerning the healing of that lame man in the second chapter, or I'm sorry, the third chapter of the book of Acts. And we can see that they were before, in verse 6, Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And verse 7 says, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Now, listen, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, this, or whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's saying the authority of God raising Christ from the dead. It was through that same authority this man is standing before you whole. We have a message to teach and preach, and here's the affirmation that this message is true. This man is standing before you whole. He was laid there at that gate called Beautiful. People passed by him daily. Do you suppose that Annas and Caiaphas and others passed by that lame man every day? And he's standing there before them whole. Peter is reminding them, it's by the authority of God, by the authority of Christ, this is happening. And this is the stone that you rejected. This is the one that you rejected. That foundation, none other name under heaven, that foundation is the Christ. He is necessary for the church. For Christ is the foundation on which they build, or on which the church is built. Now let's, if you will, build on the foundation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, quite simply, Paul says in this wonderful chapter, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. What the church does must be built upon Christ. The spiritual building, the church, must be built on the spiritual foundation, and it must pass specifications according to the Word. Any church that would build on the foundation of Christ needs to make certain that it is the right church built with the right materials upon the right foundation. Now, friend, as we noticed earlier, Jesus said upon the rock that he would build his church. So here's my question. Here's one that I have to think about and one I challenge you to think about. The church of which I am a member, am I certain that it's the church that I read of in the New Testament? And does it reflect its building upon the foundation of Christ? Something worth thinking about. I'm sure wherever you may be viewing this program, there is a multiplicity of churches throughout your area. They all teach different things. Can we all teach different things and still be right? Are we truly building the right thing on the foundation of Christ? Consider with me another text, if you will, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Lord willing, if we're allowed to continue this program, we would love to look at the book of Ephesians by itself in a study one day. But for now, let's consider Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. Let's look at that foundation. Let's see how it is built. Listen to this description. Now, a little background. Paul says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul has talked about the relationship of Jew and of Gentile. And of course, Jew and Gentile did not get along. It has been said that a Jew would look upon Gentiles as fuel for the fires of hell. The relationship was not good. In Ephesians 2, that middle wall of partition was broken down between Jew and Gentile, therefore making both one in Christ. And so the Jew and the Gentile were coming together under Christ. Whereas the Jew was a foreigner or a stranger, that's no longer. Now with that being said, once again, verse 19 of Ephesians 2, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The foundation will be laid," the foundation was laid, "and built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." The apostles built on Christ, His Word, guided by the Spirit, to whom Christ said He would send to guide them, John 14:26 and John 15:26. As the chief cornerstone, then there's also those prophets of old that spoke of Christ. And it blends in perfectly to a beautiful foundation. And when the foundation is set, all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord. The church is built upon that holy temple, or the church is the holy temple, offering up sacrifices, living sacrifices. How you and I live, Romans 12:1-2. How beautiful this is. We are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, friends, here we go. The foundation will be laid, and it was. The foundation was laid, yes, indeed. May I submit to you the foundation is still laid? The purity of the foundation, Jesus Christ, is there. Let's go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. Let's think for just a moment about this text. And we mentioned 1 Corinthians 3:11 a while ago. Now, let's look at this and let's back up to verse 10, to where Paul said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So I have to ask myself some questions here. I have to bring up and ask some questions and think about this. First of all, what am I building on the foundation? What are you building on the foundation of Christ? Second question, are some churches building compromise on the foundation of Christ? If they are, then do I need to be working alongside? Some churches could be building error on the foundation of Christ. Is that truly what I want to do as His servant? In other words, are we building with our lives the very best we can upon the foundation of Christ? Back to 1 Corinthians 3, Paul elaborates on this a little bit in verse 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You see, what we're building on the foundation, what we are structuring upon the foundation of Christ, will determine where we will spend eternity. Therefore, when I look at a foundation that would be laid, the foundation was laid, That foundation is still laid today, Jesus Christ. Am I building my life properly on that foundation? As we've noted, the church would be built upon that foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I once again ask you for your thought and your study. Are you building your life properly on the foundation of God, upon Christ? Is the church where you attend building properly on the foundation of Christ? Are there things of compromise or maybe things of error? Are there things that when you sit down and look at the authority, the Word of God, and you begin to ask, do we really have authority to do this? Do we have authority to do that? Do you ever ask sometimes, where do we get our authority to do things? Would we not do well if we just took it from God's Word and God's Word alone? What if we made certain that we looked at the plan that is made, or as Paul said, a master builder, and I must be wise on how I build? What if we simply just took the Bible as the architect's plan, God's plan, and say, okay, where I'm attending worship, the church where I attend, are we carrying through the architect's plan on his foundation? And my friend, if we fail to see that, then let us simply return to the Word of God and let us seek to do that right thing today. May we be challenged in what we think, what we believe. Because you see, the church we read of in the New Testament has one foundation. It's Christ. Now, if I know the foundation is right, then I must make certain that what I'm building on that foundation is right, that the church wherein I attend is right. Because a foundation that would be laid, a foundation that was laid, a foundation that is laid, tells us that we need to put our very best upon it. So, dear friends, I hope today would prompt you to think about, am I building the very best that I can on the Word of God? You see, when there were those that were part of the church we read of in the New Testament, they heard that wonderful truth. They understood it. And their faith grew upon God's Word and the teaching therein. From their faith, they were able to repent of their sins, as Peter commanded in Acts 2:38, as well as Acts 3 and verse 19. Upon Mars Hill in Acts 17 and verse 30, the days of ignorance God winked at, but now commands men everywhere to repent. A change of decision resulting in a change of direction. The foundation, the solid rock, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. May we all make that confession as the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, as we note in Philippians 2:11 that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and then be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Yes, using the element of water, that's what was used with the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. The parallel of the ark and water, 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but as the answer of a good conscience toward God. Do you know that adds you to the church? The church that we know is right from the pages of God's Word and the church that we build on? Now, salvation is more than just five steps. Shall I submit to you that those are levels that we step forward and then we continue to step onward with a faithful life for Christ, offering up our life as a spiritual sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, being faithful unto death and living the way God would have us to live. Dear friends, that's what you do to be added to the church we read of in the New Testament, the church that is built solid upon the foundation of Christ. I encourage you today to pursue your study upon that church we read of in the New Testament. And let us hear from you and help you all that we can. Let's enjoy this hymn together. Let's keep building on that foundation that we read of in the New Testament, and let us continue to build our lives solid on the foundation of Christ. May God bless you.
Wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words.